Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So much for the melting pot. The Center for Urban Research at CUNY has a report out detailing how much segregation we still have in the New York City area. The 2010 census told us how much more diverse the area is becoming, but it also showed how divided the city is. Joining me now is Richard Alba, Distinguished Professor of Sociology at CUNY and Acting Director of the Center for Urban Research. He worked on this study. Welcome to WNYC. Oh,
thank you very much, Brian. It's great to be here.
So the report includes a set of interactive maps so detailed that you can pretty much pinpoint how each block has changed in the last 10 years. You can see that on our site, folks, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And when you zoom out, it also shows us just how separate each racial or ethnic group is from one another in terms of where they live. So describe the maps to us when we view the city as a whole. How do we see segregation reflected amidst the diversity?
Well, it's very clear. The New York region is actually one of the most segregated areas in the country still, despite its great diversity and its image as a melting pot. When you look at the maps overall, you can see these great blotches of color coding, which indicates the preponderance of one group rather than another in a particular neighborhood. And as you can move also between 2000 and 2010, and as you do so, what you see is that the lines of division have remained pretty stable over that 10-year period.
And we're going to talk about Houston in a minute, since there was a study from Rice University which found that Houston is the most diverse city in the country now and also one of the most segregated. We'll bring in that second guest in a minute. But first, there's a link in your report to a list of the most segregated cities. Detroit is number one. Milwaukee is second. You have New York ranked third and Newark ranked fourth, then Chicago. Is this commonly accepted? Are we one of the most segregated cities in America? I'm not sure that it's how most New Yorkers think they experience it.
Well, that may be. Actually, I think, you know, most white New Yorkers probably experience a lot of diversity in their neighborhoods. And this is one of the great changes in the country as a whole that's taken place over the last 25 years, is that the neighborhoods where whites live have become much more diverse. For example, the average white now lives in a neighborhood, a census tract, where one quarter of the population is Hispanic or non-white. But many of the neighborhoods where minorities live are very homogeneous. They're all minority.
Listeners, you can get in on this with your experiences. We talk about diversity and the 2010 census results. We did a project called The New Littles last summer, locating neighborhoods where a certain nationality is newly on display in the last decade or two. But the phone lines are open now for you to tell us how you experience segregation in the city. Do you think your neighborhood is truly integrated, even if it's diverse? And how do you define segregation? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And let's bring in our guest from Houston. This recent headline caught our eye. It read, Houston region is now the most diverse in the U.S. In other words, the Houston metropolitan area surpasses this region as the most diverse in the country. So joining us now, too, is Jennifer Bratter, Associate Professor of Sociology at Rice University in Houston. She worked on that report. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
And what do you mean that Houston is the most diverse? What are you measuring exactly?
Well, that's a very good question as to how we're measuring it. So we're looking at the Houston metropolitan area versus the other 10 largest metropolitan statistical areas. And so we're just looking in terms of race-ethnic composition across the four largest race-ethnic groups. So we're talking non-Hispanic whites, non-Hispanic blacks, Hispanics, and Asians. And if you look just at the composition of those four groups, what we see in Houston is we actually have a smaller proportion of whites. About 40% of the population of Houston metropolitan area is white compared to New York, New York's metropolitan area, which is about 50% white. And so the remaining 60% is basically spread out more evenly across the other groups. So we're talking Latinos that encompass about more than 30%, African-Americans, which are about 12%, and Asians, which are a little less than 10%. And so if we're thinking about diversity, again, diversity is a concept that we have to kind of also think about how we're measuring it. And it's really about the degree of evenness across several groups. And so Houston, the metropolitan area, at this point does have a more even distribution of these race ethnic groups, these four major race ethnic groups, than does.
And I wonder if you're measuring kind of different things, because Professor Alba here at CUNY measured within census tracts. And you're talking about the Houston metropolitan area in general in terms of these top line numbers. I tend to think that people in a mass transit-oriented area like New York experience diversity or lack thereof or segregation in a different way than people in a very car-commuting-oriented place like Houston. And Professor Bratter, I gather you're from New York originally, and I wonder if you think that plays into it. I wonder if you looked at census tracts like Professor Alba did at that type a neighborhood level, if you would find anything near the diversity that we see in New York.
Well, if you looking at the census tract level, I mean, we can certainly do that within Houston. You do have some pockets of immense diversity, but you also have some very solid pockets of race ethnic concentration. And so neighborhoods that have been stably considered the white neighborhoods or the black neighborhoods or Latino neighborhoods. And, I mean, but this also plays into, you know, we haven't sort of talked about segregation yet with reference to Houston, but, I mean, certainly within Houston, the city, so not the metropolitan area, but just the sort of the core city, we have, you know, a lot of diversity, but also corresponding to a lot of segregation. So, like, the actual index of segregation is actually on par with some of the highly segregated sort of large metropolitan areas that Professor Albert was speaking about. And so part of that is a function of the fact that you have these very sort of solidly stable white, black, Latino neighborhoods that, while when you step back and look at it and say, oh my, this is a very diverse city because you've got all these different groups here, they're also kind of living in their own sort of respective neighborhoods.
Yeah. Jennifer in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jennifer. What part of Brooklyn?
Park Slope.
Okay.
I'm originally from Berkeley, and I moved to New York maybe about 2.5 years ago, and I never visited the city before I moved. I just moved, and one of the first things I noticed was
You're brave.
how diverse the city was not, especially compared to coming from Northern California. There are definitely pockets where you can get, like, this great diversity, but, you know, all in all, you seriously can go through individual neighborhoods and ride through them like museums because everyone lives in their own communities.
Where in Northern California did you live, and in what way was it less segregated than what you just described for New York?
Well, I'm born and raised in Berkeley, California.
And what's it like there?
Man, it's a melting pot. It's seriously, well, I'm not even going to call it a melting pot. I'm going to say it's a salad bowl because everyone still keeps their identity, but it's like this one, like, great dressing that brings everyone together.
But with a tighter weave, you're saying, block by block, house by house.
Exactly. Versus, you know, when you move here, you know if you go into the projects what you're going to get.
Jennifer, thank you. Richard Alba?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, first of all, the data do show that New York is more segregated than Houston and also more segregated than the San Francisco Bay Area. And what we have here, and I think there's a basic trend resulting from immigration that's really affecting the kind of segregation we now experience. So in both Houston and in New York, you have poor Latino immigrants moving into areas where African Americans had formerly been the main group. And what emerges is a new kind of ghetto, which is heavily minority and concentrates poor people. The South Bronx is an example of this. So is the village of Hempstead on Long Island. So we see it in both suburban and urban settings in the New York region. Jennifer, I think in the Fifth Ward in Houston is another example of the same phenomenon.
Absolutely. And certainly African-American Latino segregation is dropping. I mean, it's very similar to, I think, what Richard, you were referring to in your report. It's that these are groups that are definitely living together, but they're definitely living apart from whites and increasingly apart from Asians.
PJ in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, PJ.
Hey, good morning. You know, I don't think that there's anything necessarily bad when immigrant groups move to the city. They tend to cluster. I live in Bensonhurst. It's become a very Asian neighborhood. You know, you get support, you find support in a new place. And then when you go out in the big world, it's a diverse, you know, place that you're mingling in. But it's, when I grew up, it was mostly Italian, and I found comfort in that. I don't think it's necessarily bad, as long as you're not discriminated against, you know, when you're trying to live your life out in the big world.
Yeah, you raise a really important question. So, Professor Alba, is it a matter, the segregation that you're talking about, of self-segregation, of people choosing to live more among their own, or is it a matter of lack of choice for some as compared to others, and so it becomes a matter of advantage and disadvantage?
Well, of course, these are very hard forces to disentangle, but I think in general, what you have to pay attention to, in addition to segregation, is the degree of inequality of resources across neighborhoods. And there, I think the story is really very clear that we have enormous growing economic inequality across neighborhoods in the United States and in New York. And what we find is some neighborhoods that are really at the bottom in terms of the resources, the school quality, the safety of the streets, and a variety of other ways. And these tend to be the neighborhoods that are inhabited mainly by minorities. So in that sense, segregation matters because it confines poor minorities to neighborhoods that are really very disadvantaging for their children and for themselves in the long term.
Professor Bratter, want to get in on that?
I agree, and certainly the larger implication is that those groups that are placed in these neighborhoods are those that are also fastest growing. So if we're thinking about particularly Latinos, I mean, that this group has been quickly growing from 2000 to 2010 and is projected to grow quite a bit. And the more and more that those populations are encased in these lower income neighborhoods and having less access to schools and jobs, et cetera, that's going to have huge implications long term for what those cities are going to be, those cities' ability to sort of sustain themselves. I mean, because this is your future workforce. And so, I mean, I think that there are broader questions that we should ask about, like, what does this mean long term if these are the populations that are living in these low-income neighborhoods?
Right. So we have a minute left. Does this conversation have policy implications? And do you think they're different for New York than for Houston, based on the nature of transportation or anything else in the two places? Professor Alba?
Well, I think one policy implication is that we need to do a much better job as a country of addressing neighborhood inequalities. As you know, as Jennifer and I have been pointing out, these have great ramifications for the groups that are growing most rapidly and that are going to form the core of the future workforce in 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Bratter, policy implications?
I definitely agree with Richard on that, and I also think that we should be able to sort of have a broader conversation about not only neighborhood segregation but school segregation, because I think that that is obviously a function of part of what's happening in the neighborhoods, is that we also are sending kids to schools that are primarily populated with only their own respective group, and that conversation gets very, very tense.
Of course, for this conversation, we've really only been talking about the very rough categories of white, black, Latino, and Asian. We could be talking about groups within those categories. We could talk about religion, language groups, all those things. But an important conversation, as measured by the study at Rice University, where Jennifer Bratter is associate professor of sociology looking at diversity and segregation in Houston, and Richard Alba, and the study that he participated in at the Center for Urban Research at CUNY. And you can see their amazing maps through our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.